getting the opportunity to show off his power at the plate here for the first time in Mon County Ballpark, something that every fan is going to be excited to see. And for Jed Jerko, getting him into the heart of the Black Bears lineup is something that is going to be absolutely crucial to get him going. And he's got a lot of protection in that lineup, hitting beneath Blaze Brothers and then hitting in front of Hunter May. So perfect spot for Ryan Hernandez in the Black Bears lineup.
I'd have to agree with you. And Ryan Hernandez, as you mentioned, a towering presence, to say the least. A guy you can't miss, standing at a 6'4", 240 pounds, like you said, out of Houston. I'm glad you said that. I'm also very excited to see how he does here in his first home series. Like you mentioned, his last game he went 2-for-4 and had one run, two RBIs, and one walk in that one on June 19th. As Bill Nevins gives out the umpire's over, we are just moments before the procedure starts for this game. Like you mentioned there, Ryan Hernandez will be somebody to keep an eye on, and interesting to see how Blaze Brothers, who was arguably the most successful hitter in that lineup for the Black Bears last night, how he follows it up here, again batting in that four spot, clean up for the Black Bears, and how he'll follow up that 4-for-5 performance he had last night. Again, going 4-for-5, two runs, two RBIs, and only struck out once, but had a lot of stolen bases. We've seen a lot more aggressive approach to the base running over the last series and the game last night. So I expect it to continue as we move over to Bill Nevins to give the starting lineups.
Batting fifth, and playing first base, number 25, Hogan McIntosh. Batting sixth,
just moments away from baseball here at the Mon. Great rendition there of our national anthem. Have to admit, that was a very good job done by the singer there. Turner Sportrick takes the mound now as we have the Little Leaguers running off the field. And the first batter for the Crosscutters is just moments away from taking the box. Like we mentioned, Matthew Etzel will be leading off, followed by Alan Shibley. And the possible third out could be Daniel Harris following Shibley there. The last throws out, or last warm-up throws there by the Black Bears. As we're just moments again from baseball here at the Mon. Again, good temperature, good climate we have here. The attendance by the Black Bears faithful, the fans piling in here as we get closer and closer to the start of the game. Again, like we mentioned before, Turner Sportrick will be on the mound and is one of the youngest players on this team, 19 years old, in fact, straight out of high school, is an Oregon commit, will be playing there this coming year. So a lot of, not a lot riding on it, but a lot of good opportunity here to gain some experience against some more experienced players and players who have been playing at the college level for 4, even 5 years in some cases with some of these players. So it's another good opportunity for the 19-year-old to get some work in there and put in a good outing, not just for him and the possible scouts that could be in attendance, but for the benefit of the Black Bears as Matthew Etzel takes his spot in the left batter's box, and we are ready for baseball.
One thing I want to point out here, Manny, is that with Turner Spoljarek on the mound, he's working with Hunter May as his battery mate, the most experienced catcher on the West Virginia Black Bears roster, and that is no accident from Jed Jerka wanting to give his young high school arm the opportunity to work with a very experienced backstop and command the zone when the young right-hander at times may need some help.
Of course, and the first pitch in there by Sportrick is a called strike by our home plate umpire, Bob Wright. We are underway. 0-1 is the count early to Etzel. Sportrick takes the sign from Hunter May behind the plate. Second pitch is floated outside to left field. Ryan McCoy plants himself under it and he drops the ball. He muffs the catch. An easy routine flyout, it seemed, for Etzel and for Ryan McCoy to make, but he loses it in the sun and Etzel finds himself at second for his first hit.
And we see it here on the replay. Ryan McCoy saw it into his glove the whole way, just didn't really squeeze the glove in time once he felt it hit. And that sun, certainly something that Ryan McCoy not used to dealing with over at first base last year, where McCoy just couldn't really read the ball off the bat.
An unfortunate start to this game as Alan Shively takes a hack at that one, swing and a miss. 0-1 again to the second baseman tonight. Like we mentioned, the sun could be an issue, and early on it shows signs of that as Ryan McCoy again dropped the ball on that easy catch. It seemed Etzel takes off the third. May takes it in its glove. Actually, does not. Gets past him. Goes to the backstop, and Etzel easily glides into third. A bit of a rough start defensively here for May and McCoy.
Absolutely, as that was an easy opportunity for Etzel to take third. He was already in motion, so I believe that one will stay as a stolen base there for Etzel, but certainly not what you want to see from the Black Bears defensively, as now Etzel's just 90 feet away from scoring here in the top of the first.
And Shively takes a swing at that, goes foul to the net here in front of the fans as we get some reactions there. The count even at 1-1. Etzel known for his speed, for such a presence physically, as Sportrick takes another pitch and over the head of Antonacci again to Ryan McCoy there, drops before him. Alan Shively guides into first for an easy single and an early 1-0 lead for the Crosscutters.
Well, it's a great piece of hitting there from Shibley just to go out into the left center field gap, taking it the opposite way. well over the head of Antonacci. Not that he had any chance to make the play, but great piece of hitting there from Shibley, and he makes the Black Bears pay with their defensive mistakes to give the Crosscutters an early lead, and now a little bit of pressure on Turner Spoljarek to see how he responds after conceding the unearned run.
And it's now Daniel Harris who will make his way to the box as Spoljarek takes the first pitch, throws it in there, and it is called strike one. 0-1 to the shortstop for the Crosscutters. Again, like we mentioned, Shibley makes his way to first on that RBI single that he just had. Spoljarek winds up, takes the pitch, and it is too far outside off the chooses that one, but Shively still sticking there at first, no threat of running.
That's a great block there from Hunter May. As had that one gotten away just a little bit more, he may have seen Shibley take off for second.
1-1 is the count to Daniel Harris. A pitch thrown over to first to Ryan Hernandez, who tries to apply the tag there, but no real threat of Shibley getting tagged there as he makes his way safely back. Again, 1-1 to Harris. Runner on first. Spoljarek gets the sign again, throws it back to first, tries to get the tag there from Ryan Hernandez. Shibley back in there safe.
You see the Crosscutters already trying to play mind games with the young right-hander and Spoljarek.
Spoljarek takes the third pitch, and it's a swing and a miss from Daniel Harris. 1-2 is 1-2 the count now. Good comeback at bat here from Spoljarek, trying to get the first out.
And that's the perfect response to Shibley right there. Show him that him dancing off that bag isn't going to faze you as you pump a strike past Daniel Harris.
The next pitch is in there, and it is just outside by the right-hander. That will be ball two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
The scoreboard up there is a little slow, but it is 2-2 by my count. Yep. 2-2 to the right-handed batter, Daniel Harris, looking to not record the first out. Possible double play in play here. Spoljarek takes the pitch as Shibley takes off to second base. The ball was in the air and it drops right before Trankel. And very confused play there by Antonacci. Seemed to try and trick Shibley there that the ball was in his hand. Did manage to get the out there at second as it did work. But the ball drops into a pop single for Daniel Harris.
Just when you thought you had seen it all here in the MLB Draft League, Antonacci dove, pretended to field the ball on the ground, get some mind games going, and ultimately Shibley was retired, but still very rare circumstance here. But nonetheless, Spoljarek gets an out.
Now the third baseman, Sabine Ceballos, grounds 1-2. Antonacci tries to go to second, gets the one out at second, is not in time to first base as Sabine Ceballos hustles down the first base line, gets in there, but not before the second out is recorded at second.
And that's a big second out there for Antonacci, just to flip that one to Dante Stewart. Tried to get the relay over to first, but the speed of Sabine Ceballos just too fast, hustling down the first base line. Nonetheless, I mentioned a big second out.
Now that'll bring Hogan McIntosh to the plate, the first baseman, getting his second appearance here in the series. Spoljarek winds up. The pitch is in there, and a swinging strike there by Hogan McIntosh. The count is 0-1 with two outs. Lance Logsdon is on deck, possibly looking to get on here, as the second pitch is in there for strike two. Good bounce by the young Spoljarek. 0-2 with two outs, looking to get out of this with just the one run on the board.
And that would be a huge confidence boost right there for Turner Spoljarek if he can limit the damage to just the one unearned run.
The third pitch is in there, and it is fouled off here to the right side. Count runs to 1-2.
Still trying to process that entire play with Daniel Harris coming to the plate, as it was for a little bit chaotic for the Black Bears defensively.
The payoff pitch is in there. Gets a called strike three to Hogan McIntosh. Never had a chance. Goes down looking three outs. The Crosscutters, are up 1-0 early here in the first as the Black Bears come to bat. Early success here for the Crosscutters as they find themselves up 1-0 in the first inning. They will have Riley Goins, the right-hander, 6'3", right-hander out of the University of Illinois, pitch for them here. He will face Sam Crail, who is already in the batter's box. As we get set here, Riley Goins gets the sign, winds up, and throws a ball in there way too low to be called a strike, 1-0 to the right fielder.
We see the Crosscutters, both middle infielders on the outfield grass, recognizing that Crail can scorch the ball and give themselves as much time as possible.
Second pitch is in there for a called strike on the outside part of the plate, just about, it seemed. Count runs even to 1-1.
Interesting here to note, Riley Gowan's pitching exclusively out of the stretch.
And the third pitch to Crail is check swung by Crail, but nonetheless it's still strike two, 1-2. As you see it here in the replay, good location there, high on the part of the strike zone, 1-2. The third pitch is coming in there. Pitch by Goins is, gets Sam Crow to swing and strike through that. No chance of getting a hit on that as it was way too low. We see it here in the replay.
Way too late of a swing there from Sam Crail. I mean, he started his swing as the ball was about 10 feet in front of him, and by the time he got the bat head around the plate, the ball was sitting in the glove of Eddie Niemann.
Just pumped that fastball right through him. First batter, first strikeout for Riley Goins as Sam Antonacci makes his way to the box. First pitch is in there, way too far outside, high and outside. Ball one. Sam Antonacci, like we mentioned at the pregame show, had some success yesterday, going 1-for-4 with two runs. As the second pitch in there to him is called a ball, two balls and no strikes there for the shortstop.
Good take there from Antonacci, recognizing that one was just going to continue to run in.
Riley Goins, his third pitch of the at-bat is too far outside. Again, like you mentioned, Drew, good discipline and patience there by Sam Antonacci to run this count to 3-0. Should not be swinging here. Should be taking one. Riley Goins, the fourth pitch of the at-bat is not in there. Almost identical to the third one. Gives Sam Antonacci a pass to first base.
Not a pitch is possible to draw that walk, allowing himself to get on for Ryan McCoy, who had his some balls jumping off of his bat last night with a pair of doubles and would love to pick up right where he left off.
Absolutely, and of course would love to get a hit on here as a pitch is way too high upstairs for Ryan McCoy. Ball one. Would like to make up for that drop he had there just at the top of the first on that easy flyout, it seemed, off the bat of Matthew Ensel. Gets the second pitch in here from going swings, an emphatic swing there by Ryan McCoy. No chance of hitting that, way too fast there in there by Goins, 1-1.
Home plate umpire Bob Wright's hearing some contact from McCoy as it was a foul tip into the glove of Eddie Niemann behind the plate, but not enough for McCoy to drive it in fair territory.
And Tanashi, a threat to run, doesn't. Another foul ball off the bat of McCoy. Back onto the net here. 1-2 now. Sam Antonacci, like we said here up in the booth, very confusing play out there to get Shively out at, or try to trick Shively out at second. Gets him regardless, but nothing, not something you see very often from the shortstop there. Count 1-2 here to Sam Antonacci. Going, the payoff pitch is too low and inside. Try to catch that inside part of the plate. Doesn't count even at 2-2.
Ryan McCoy once again working the count, just continuing to take pitch after pitch there from Gowans, and that's exactly what you want him to do.
As Goins flings it over to first base, over to McIntosh, try to get the tag on Antonacci. A threat to run, like I said before. Goins keeps looking back over there, gets the throw back to first. McIntosh starts, gets the tag in there, but too late. Back safe at first base is Antonacci. Keeping a close eye over there on the shortstop. The 2-2 pitch in by Goins, and it is fouled off to the left side here. Pumped in the fastball there.
Swing there from McCoy just a little bit late as he fouled it off on the third base side of the ballpark, but McCoy starting to see it, recognize what Gowans is going to be throwing, and would love to catch up to one here.
Ryan McCoy trying to get on base and advance Sam Antonacci. The payoff pitch is in there for a strike on the outside part of the corner. Bob Wright emphatically calls him out on the strikeout. The second out here for the Black Bears off the hand of Riley Goins.
We see it here on the replay of the pitch there. Possibly a little bit outside, but too close to be taken there if you're Ryan McCoy. Great frame from Eddie Niemann behind the plate to help his battery mate on the mound, and the crosscutters get a second out.
Second strikeout to that matter as the Dangerous Blaze Brothers comes up to take his first swing at it here. Blaze Brothers DHing tonight, played left field last night, but gets a little bit of a rest here today as he's starting to turn his home field luck around, it seemed, after last night's performance. Riley Goins keeping a close line. Antonacci goes to second to throw in there, but it actually nails Goins in the back. Eddie Niemann couldn't get enough power on it to get it over his pitcher. No chance of getting Antonacci there, as we see it here in the replay.
You've seen throws from the catcher that will sail into center field that will bounce about a few feet in front of the bag, but I have never seen a catcher drill his pitcher in the back trying to throw a guy out at second base. I mean, it's truly remarkable.
Just gets him there between the left arm and his torso, Riley Goins. Eddie Niemann, again, couldn't get enough power on there from his knees. Antonacci takes second base, steals second base. The 0-1 pitch there is swung on by Blaze Brothers. The off took something off of it, did Riley Goins, the off-speed pitch there. Gets the count now to 0-1 on that. Riley Goins trying to get this. Gives a look over to Sam Antonacci. The pitch is in to Blaze Brothers. Almost went for that one. Check swing there by the DH tonight. 1-1 the count now.
Home plate umpire Bob Wright signaling 1-2 as scoreboard now getting updated.
1-2 is correct, Drew. And looking to get his third strikeout here is Goins to relieve the side. The pitch into Brothers. 1-2 is swung on, and Blaze Brothers drives that one to left field but pulls it too much as it makes its way onto the road there on the left side of the stadium. Good swing there, but fouled. 1-2 remains.
Blaze Brothers well out in front of the off-speed pitch, and he gave it a ride, but just could not straighten it out. And if he sits back for an extra second and a half, that one is well over the wall out there in left field, and the Black Bears would have had the lead, but nonetheless, Brothers looking for the next pitch.
Good chance for an RBI if Blaze Brothers gets to be on base. The pitch is way too far inside. Brothers had to lean back a little bit or move his legs out of the way as it drove in on him. 2-2 now with two outs to Blaze Brothers. Good spot here for an RBI. Blaze Brothers got a couple of those last night with his well-put-in performance here. And then Neiman sets, delivers, does go in, and it is off the glove, way too low to get a reaction out of Blaze Brothers. Just hits off the foot, it seemed, of Eddie Neiman, and the count runs full.
And Blaze Brothers just continuing to fight here at the plate, making Gowans throw as many pitches as he can, and that's exactly what you want to see from your cleanup hitter.
Blaze Brothers still fighting. Sammy tonight takes off to third base. The third baseman is not on the bag. It gets by him. The third baseman was not on the bag. Good base running by Antonacci, and he makes his way to home base. The game is tied 1-1 on that very risky
count as a stolen base for Antonacci. Second of the inning, and then an E2 from Eddie Neiman. Unfortunate there is Sedin Ceballos was not in position on the bag, but ran into a little bit of trouble there. The Crosscutters did defensively, and it's a run to tie the game for West Virginia.
Blaze Brothers gets the payoff pitch in there way too far inside, and he earns himself a walk. Good at bat there by the cleanup hitter. Makes his way to first base. A couple fielding errors we've seen there as Sabine Ceballos could seem to not even be paying attention there. Was not expecting a throw so far to his left. Gets by him and ties the game for West Virginia. And Blaze Brothers now finds himself on first.
We've seen now both pitchers concede an unearned run, as we'd have to imagine that one goes down as unearned against Riley Gowans.
First pitch to Ryan Hernandez is too far inside. Ball one, and you don't want to allow the Black Bears to just take off from this after an error there if you're Goins, especially after getting two strikeouts early on. Ryan Hernandez is in there. Blaze Brothers takes off the second baseman and even fires it in there, but way too late as the second baseman wasn't even, Alan Shibley wasn't even on the base. Blaze Brothers steals yet another base here in the series.
Well, I give Eddie Neiman a little bit of credit here because this time he didn't drill his pitcher in the back. But nonetheless, throw off the mark and Shibley unable to apply a tag.
Again, not the best of throws, though better from Eddie Neiman, not the best of throws there. 2-0 to the first baseman. Ryan Hernandez slaps that one into left field, drops there. Blaze Brothers is rounding third base, will be called home. The throw at the plate is in time. The tag is in there by Eddie Neiman. Good throw there by Holt from left field. Perfect throw gets Blaze Brothers for the third out at home.
And that was just an incredible play there from Travis Holt to bring that one up. One hop it to the plate right on the money as Neiman applies the tag of Brothers. And you could just see the frustration on the face of Blaze Brothers when he saw the throw beat him by about a step and a half.
the Black Bears managed to tie the game in the bottom of the first. 1-1 is the score now as Lance Logsdon will be making his way to the box. Playing right field tonight is the 6'4" senior from Quincy University. Didn't play yesterday, making his first appearance here. The pitch in there by Spoljarek is on the outside part of the plate. Tried to frame it there, did Hunter May, but not enough to right his liking, 1-0. The second pitch in there by Spoljarek is falling there, broken bat. Ryan Hernandez fields it, not in time for Spoljarek, who tried to get out of the way of that bat, was not able to get to first base before Lance Logsdon does. It's a hit for the Crosscutters.
And I'm not going to fault Turner Spoljarek whatsoever for that scenario. I would much rather him see him get out of the way of the broken bat than get struck by it trying to make a play at first. You always got to put the safety of these players first. And unfortunately for him, it concedes a hit in the process.
Another broken bat here at the Mon. We saw a couple last home series last week. We see another one here today as that one comes very close to nailing Turner Spoljarek, as he gave up the single to Lance Logsdon, as now Travis Holt is into bat. The first pitch by Spoljarek is outside for a ball. One ball, no strikes. Another one of the players that didn't play yet, making his debut here in left field as he takes the second pitch there. It is called a strike there, but by Wright's making the count even at 1-1.
And a little bit of an update. The run the Black Bears scored last half inning, in fact, going down as earned as a result of the Ryan Hernandez single.
The third pitch is swung on and missed by Travis Hall. Pumped the fastball in there. Turner Spoljarek. The count is now 1-2. Travis Holt, like I mentioned, making his debut here in this series. The last game went 1-for-1 as the payoff pitch by Spoljarek is too far outside. Count even at 2-2.
Looked to be a little bit of a sign cross up there as Hunter May caught that pitch and immediately shook his head. Spoljarek possibly not on the same page.
The payoff pitch once again is fouled off by Travis Holt. Just catches the net here. Behind him, count still 2-2 as Lance Longston is still on first. Not the biggest threat to steal there, Lance Longston there, but still a base runner nonetheless. Travis Hall takes a pitch in there, swung on and missed. Turner Spoljarek pumps the third strike in there, gets him swinging for the first out here in the second.
Great execution there from Turner Spoljarek, going with the fastball high and away. Holt tried to get the bat to it, couldn't get anything on it, and it's the second strikeout of the night for the Canadian right-hander in an all-important time here in the top of the second.
Eddie Niemann is making his way up to the plate now. Takes the first pitch there by Spoljarek, a breaking ball or off-speed pitch there is taken for strike one, 0-1.
Looked to be the curveball there from Spoljarek, and just once again placing it beautifully on the outside corner to get ahead in the count.
0-1 there to Niemann. As the pitch runs inside on him, another curveball there, but way too far inside. 1-1 the count. Eddie Niemann plays his ball at single. Facing off here now is the ball is swung on there by Eddie Niemann, who pulls it too far there towards his dugout. Second strike there off a foul ball.
Interesting note that Williamsport's manager, Jesse Litch, is manning the third base coaching box, something you don't see every day with the manager out there on the field.
Much more hands-on approach there by the Crosscutters manager as the payoff pitch is in there too. Eddie Niemann, a breaking ball way too far outside. Good job by Hunter May to block that one. Count is now 2-2. Possible inning-ending double play here is in the works if a ground ball is managed here by Spoljarek off the bat of Niemann. The payoff pitch again is flown out to right field. Excuse me, Sam Crail charging towards it, and it goes foul, just foul. If we could get a replay here, it seemed a lot more close A lot too close for comfort there to the right fielder.
We see it here on the replay, and just about 2 feet into foul territory, as that one, had it dropped into fair territory, would have gone down as a ground rule double, with immediately hopping over the fence and into the berm, would have been a less than ideal situation for the Black Bears defensively.
Still looking for that double play. The count runs to 2-2 for Eddie Niemann. Looking to get on base, looking to have more success than he did last night. The payoff pitch there by Sporcherik is another breaking ball on the outside part of the plate again. No reaction from Niemann. Count is full now, 3-2.
And this is where you start to see a little bit of inexperience, I guess I should say, from Sporcherik. I like the idea there, going the curveball down and away, but these college hitters are going to be a lot more difficult to fool.
The payoff pitch there is fouled off by Eddie Niemann. Just gets enough on that to make contact on it as it broke inside towards him at the last minute. Still 3-2, excuse me. Nunez waiting on the on-deck circle. Will like to get a chance here before the inning end. And Eddie Niemann takes that one right back to Sporcherik. Fields it to Antonacci. Slings it over to Ryan Hernandez. Not in time as he does a split there over, but he gets taken off the base only. The one out is recorded on second.
We see here on the replay, nice job by Sporcherik fielding it, throw into second for one. The relay throw, and Hernandez doing everything in his power, going for the scoop and the split, and just moved a bit too far off of the bag.
Absolutely, and you do at least get the one out there. Good job by Sporcherik to react to that and throw it to second as Antonacci covered second. And now he will face Isaac Nunez, DH in tonight, who gets the first base by Sporcherik, and it is off the tip or off the inside part of his bat, fouled back towards the net. 0-1 to start off this at bat to the DH. Eddie Niemann now at first. The pitch is in there. Good break on that pitch to come back towards the strike zone. Two strikes and a good opportunity here for Sporcherik to get out of this one unharmed.
Perfectly placed curveball in the inner half of the frame there from Sporcherik.
Gets a swing and miss on the third pitch there to Isaac Nunez, excuse me. The third out recorded. Good bounce back inning by Sporcherik as the Black Bears now take their turn at the bottom of the second. The ever-dangerous Hunter May makes his way up to lead off this bottom half of the second inning. Hunter May coming off a 0-for-1 performance, 2 walks in that one, or last night, 2 RBIs. Looking to do some more damage as he takes the first pitch in there, and it's a swinging strike. He immediately regretted that, did the catcher, but a strike nonetheless.
tried to hold up there, got caught somewhere between three quarters and a full swing, did Hunter May, but had already gone around at that point.
Second pitch there by Goins is another called strike. Good placement there by the righty. 0-2 early on here to the catcher. We see the infield or the second baseman and the shortstop stepping back a few ways because of the power that was displayed last night by Hunter May. Takes the third pitch in there. Way too high, up and upstairs, 1-2.
Hunter May just taking it one pitch at a time, trying to work himself back in the count.
1-2 pitched in there by Goins. It is swung on and missed on the breaking ball. Good pitch location, good pitch selection. Gets Hunter out.
See it on the replay here, just a beautiful curveball that drops out of the hand of Riley Gowans. Just gets May to wave at it and miss for out number one.
That would bring up Caden Trankel, again playing center field tonight, batting in the seventh hole. Looking to have some more success here against Goins as the first pitch is in there, high and tight on the inside part of the plate there to Caden Trankel. Another first pitch strike by Goins, who seems to be getting in a rhythm here. The second pitch by Goins is just outside there for Bob Wright's liking. Count even at 1-1. We mentioned Bob Wright's behind the plate. We have Mario Seneca at first and Ben Smith doing the duties at third. The third pitch in there is fouled off. Coming towards us, it seemed, but just kept carrying on over the overhang. Count runs to 1-2 now off that foul.
I'll tell you what, Manny, my heart skipped a beat there seeing that one carry a little bit too close to the booth.
You and me both there. The payoff pitch there to Trankel is again fouled off and at our level again. But to the left of us, we keep saying it, Drew. One of these days, one of those foul balls is going to come up to us when we are least expecting it.
After the first one, I was ready there with Caden Trankel at the plate.
1-2 again to the center fielder as he steps off the or away from the batter's box. Caden Trankel does. Is now ready for the payoff pitch. 1-2 here. One out. The pitch by Goins is way too far outside. Didn't break enough. 2-2 now to the center fielder, Caden Trankel.
Great job by Trankel to work himself back into the count after falling behind early. That's exactly what you want if you're Jed Jerko.
The pitch in there again is another broken bat. Trankel flies it out to the shortstop. Harris is able to backtrack in there onto the turf, rather, and records the second out, but another broken bat here at the mound.
Looks like the last inning when the cross cutters were up, that little flare out into left center field. This time Harris was able to go out and make the grab, and I say last time up, referring to the top of the first inning, rather.
Absolutely, as the first pitch in here to Ben Greer. It's again another fastball pumped in there, high and tight, like a Goins seems to be liking, but another first pitch strike here to Ben Stewart. Ben Greer, rather. As the second pitch in there is 0-2, and Ben Greer didn't seem to agree with that one as he takes a walk around the batter's box. 0-2 early here. Goins looking to retire the side. The third pitch to Greer is a swinging strike three, the third out. A good inning of work there by Goins as he retires the Black Bears. 1-2-3. Head to the third.
Experiencing any symptoms or medical concerns? A WVU Medicine primary care provider is your first point of contact for improved well-being. WVU Medicine's primary care providers deliver top-quality care close to home for patients of all ages, from infants to seniors. They specialize in diagnosing, treating and preventing a wide variety of conditions and, if needed, can refer you to a WVU Medicine specialist for more advanced care. Visit wvumedicine.org/primary care.
Pepperoni rolls on your mark. Get set, go!
pepperoni and cheese patty. Takes his rendition of the race here that we have here at the Mon, getting it or closing that gap on the lead, 3-2 now, still trails. But for the cross cutters now, it'll be Matthew Etzel making his way again for his second plate appearance here tonight. Was able to reach all the way to second on the dropped flyout to left field of Ryan McCoy. Gets the first pitch in there, and it is a first pitch, first strike there by Spoljarek.
I'm liking what I'm seeing here from Spoljarek. Faced just four hitters in the top of the second, getting to go back out there for the third.
The second pitch in there is a swinging roller to Ryan Hernandez. Flips it to Spoljarek, who just in time gets there a lot closer than it should have been. Ryan Hernandez chose to flip it there, but first down nonetheless.
You see it here on the replay. Bang, bang play over there at first base as Matthew Etzel can't believe it. Mario Seneca favoring the Black Bears right-hander, and we see Turner Spoljarek give him a nod of approval.
Absolutely, and again, Matthew Etzel, for his size, can really move around the bases, but is still called out there on the bang, bang play like you mentioned. The first pitch to Alan Shibley here is a taken ball, 1-0 here. Spoljarek again, the pitch is way too far, low and inside, 2-0 quickly to Shibley. Spoljarek messing around with the mound out there, it seemed, as he could have lost his footing on the previous pitch, causing it to be a ball. It's the third pitch by Spoljarek, slaps that one into right field, no chance there for Stewart to get make any play on it. Again, the second plate appearance and a second single for Shibley.
Another great piece of hitting there for Shibley, going to the poolside this time, dropping that one in a few feet in front of Sam Crowe to get himself on with one gone.
Good piece of hitting there, like you mentioned, Drew. We'll bring up Daniel Harris, who was part of that odd play we had there back in the first by Antonacci, Caden Tranquil. But did manage to get on base last time. We'll be looking at the same again by his power this time, as he takes there the first pitch, and it is a ball too low for Harris to make any play on it. 1-0. Spoljarek trying to get on the same page as Hunter May. There, it gets the sign, takes a look, winds up, and the pitch is in there for a called strike. One emphatic swing there by Daniel Harris, looking to take that 1 yard possibly, but does not do so. 1-1 now.
Great execution there from Spoljarek, just pumping the fastball in and daring Daniel Harris to swing at it and almost sending him to the ground in the process.
Third pitch in there is flown out to Caden Tranquil, charging onto it. It's him and Crail. It is Tranquil that makes the play. Easy play there. Retires Daniel Harris on the flyout. The second out there for Spoljarek.
Caden Tranquil, the veteran out there in center field, able to deal with the sun, the task at hand, bring that one in for two gone.
That'll bring up Sabin Ceballos to the plate now. The San Jacinto College player, sophomore, last time up was part of a fielder's choice there, as Spoljarek flings that one to first base to Ryan Hernandez, trying to apply the tag there to Shibley. Doesn't do so. Trying to get the third out without facing Ceballos. Can't do so. First pitch is in there. Another fastball pumped in there. First pitch strike with two outs here to the third baseman.
Spoljarek really getting the fastball to work for him here, getting lots of strikes with it.
Second time up there is fouled off to the right side towards first base. Again, fouled off. Owen getting through this third or first half of the first of the third inning rather quickly. Sabin Ceballos reached on a fielder's choice last time. The 0-2 to him is swung in, and again going or flying towards the right side of the ballpark. Too far right to be in play. 0-2 still.
We anticipate a possible throw over here from Turner Spoljarek as Shibley took off her second on motion from the Black Bears right-hander. just making sure Spoljarek is aware of the runner on base.
Would love his second strikeout here. Spoljarek throws a breaking ball in there too far outside and off the knee, it seems, of Hunter May. Shibley takes second base without breaking a sweat there.
See it here on the replay. That ball just spiked a bit too far away from Hunter May that time. Caught the left-handed batter's box and then bounced towards the Black Bears dugout. Go down as a wild pitch against Spoljarek.
1-2 still has the chance of retiring the side here. 1-2 to Sabin Ceballos. Two outs. Shibley at second. And Tanashi motions to try and get him out. The pitch in there to us. So Ceballos gets it, flies it out to Crail, who makes the play there for the third out. No trouble there for the right fielder. 1-2-3 goes the cross cars as we head to the bottom of the third. Back here for the second half of the third inning. Dante Stewart will make his first plate appearance here. The 5'11 sophomore out of Northwestern State gets the first pitch in there by Goins. And it is a first pitch, first ball to the second baseman. Again, the sign taken by Goins. The windup, the pitch is smacked right up the middle by Dante Stewart. No chance for either of the infielders to make a play. First single for Dante Stewart in this one.
Great execution there from Dante Stewart just to hit it where it came from, back up the middle, past the mound. Gowans tried to get the hand out to it with the glove, well out of his reach, and now the lineup turns over with a runner on.
As it does, and it'll be Sam Crail, like you mentioned there, making his second plate appearance. Not successful the first time around, struck out. But now with a runner on first, we saw what he could do yesterday. Was credited to a few RBIs as the first pitch is in there to Sam Crail for the first strike.
See Austin Becker loosening in the West Virginia bullpen. Possibly day done for Turner Spoljarek.
We mentioned before, only 7 innings played there today, so trying to get as many pitchers the chance to pitch there as Sam Crail smacks that one to the left side of the ballpark, catches the net again, and now faces an 0-2 deficit with a runner on first. Goins hasn't really faced much trouble so far, only giving up the one run. Trying to get Sam Crail down on strikes again as he throws it over to first base, trying to get McIntosh to tag Stewart, but Stewart back in there safely. Dante Stewart taking his lead to Goins' displeasure. Takes a look there. Gets the sign from Neiman, and Sam Crail fouls that one into the street, or nearly the street there, towards the left side of the ballpark. Still 0-2.
Another late swing from Sam Crail to just get a piece of the pitch from Goins, but Crail needing to start his entire motion just a bit sooner.
The 0-2 pitch there again to Crail gets him to Fields it over to McIntosh. Fields it over to the second baseman. Gets the first out at second, and the throw was wild over to the left back to McIntosh. Only gets the out at second, but Sam Crail makes his way onto first now with only one out.
Sam Crail that time well out in front of it as he pulls it to the first baseman, McIntosh. The crosscutters tried to go for the 3-6-3 double play, but the throw from Harris well off the mark. Crail was going to beat it out, so it'll stay as a fielder's choice, but now Antonacci coming up here.
Good play there by Harris to receive the throw at second and get Stewart, but the throw, again, by Harris is way too far left for McIntosh to ever have a chance to get the double play. Antonacci worked the walk in his first appearance, takes the first pitch here by Gowans, and it is a ball. Again, showing off that patience, 1-0 to the shortstop. Sam Crail there at first, a threat to possibly steal. The pitch is in there, swinging strike there by Antonacci. No chance of catching up to the fastball. Count runs even to 1-1.
Again, Antonacci just starting the swing late like we've seen with Sam Crail. Got to catch up to the fastball from Gowans and start the entire motion a bit sooner.
Gowans again throws it to first, trying to get Crail there, sleeping. Crail back in there safely. 1-1 count on one out. Possible double play here for the crosscutters. He's in play as the throw goes back again to first, and a lot closer this time to tagging out Sam Crail. This time was McIntosh, but back in there safely. Sam Crail not bothered by that. Look over by Gowans as the 1-1 pitch is awaited by Sam Antonacci. Gets it, fouls it off towards the backstop. Wanted all of that one as it was up in the zone there, but 1-2.
That was the pitch right there for Sam Antonacci. Just couldn't get the barrel to it and sent it to the screen of the backstop.
Gowans now has a chance to record his fifth strikeout in this game if he gets Antonacci swinging. The 1-2 is in there, and Antonacci fouls it off to a press box here again to the left side. That press box to our left-hand side is getting pummeled today, the second time it is being hit by a foul ball. One and two again to Antonacci. Gowans looking to, again, record his fifth strikeout and just do the three innings of work. The payoff pitch is in there, and it is too low there, almost catching the lower inside part of the plate. Good patience by Antonacci to run it to 2-2.
Antonacci just trying to work himself back in the count, take it pitch by pitch, and make Gowans labor here in the third.
The next pitch in there by Gowans is called a strike three. Antonacci disagrees, but a strike three nonetheless. The second out, the fifth strikeout by Gowans here in this one. Two outs here.
It's a fastball right on the outer edge of the plate. Not entirely sure what Antonacci's appeal was, as it was perfectly placed from Gowans. Niemann helping out his pitcher in terms of framing the bat.
Good game so far by Gowans as the first pitch to McCoy is too low there. Not a full swing there by Ryan McCoy. Count is 1-0 to start off for the left fielder today. Gowans takes a look over to first, flings it over to first. Sam Crail back in there quickly, slides back. No chance of the tag there by McIntosh. McCoy, second plate appearance. Strikeout in the first one, trying to avoid that again. As another throw there into first, trying to get Sam Crail, but to no avail there. McCoy, the trying to get the second pitch in here by Gowans, does so here. Swings on it, fielded by McIntosh. Great sliding play there. Takes it to first himself and records a third out. Great play there by the first baseman to retire the side by the Black Bears.
The WVU Cancer Institute offers innovative treatment options for benign and malignant liver tumors. Our comprehensive team of experts creates an individualized treatment plan combining cutting-edge medical, radiation, and surgical therapies tailored to your needs. Our board-certified, fellowship-trained oncologists offer industry-leading minimally invasive techniques with smaller incisions, meaning less pain and a faster recovery. Visit wvumedicine.org/cancer.
We do have a pitching change here to start off the fourth inning. It is Austin Becker, it seems that. It will relieve Spoljarek, who, again, had three innings of work, but not the worst by any means, as he only gave up the one run, and it was pretty solid after that. But nonetheless, it will be Austin Becker who will come in here, as we are only playing seven innings, like you mentioned here today, and we'll have Hogan McIntosh to face first.
And the run Spoljarek gave up unearned against him, as was the defensive miscue of Ryan McCoy that allowed the run to even get on base. By far the best appearance we've seen here from Turner Spoljarek in terms of starting. Went those three innings, just the one run against that wasn't earned, three strikeouts, no walks, so very solid from Spoljarek as he builds on his relief appearance.
And like we mentioned, it is Hogan McIntosh, the first baseman, getting the chance to face Becker out of the pen first. The first pitch in there by Becker is a called strike at the knees there. Bob Wright emphatically calls that first pitch, first strike there on McIntosh. The second pitch in here by Becker, taken by McIntosh. It's again another perfectly placed strike two, 0-2 early here to McIntosh.
Austin Becker is a legitimate arm for the Black Bears to have coming out of the bullpen. Stands in at 6'5", 215 pounds out of Sunbury, Ohio, a redshirt sophomore out of Texas Tech, in which he really dominated the
ball. Too far low there off the chest of Hunter May, it seemed. No chance there for a swing there by Hogan McIntosh. Count is now 1-2.
Of course, Becker already drafted once. It was in the 37th round of 2018 by the Texas Rangers, so looking to hear his name called once again.
Absolutely, as the payoff pitch is in there by Becker, and it swung on, made contact. Hogan McIntosh fouled that one off. 1-2 still here. One and two again. McIntosh fouled off the last pitch. The payoff pitch in here by Becker is swung on and almost missed. I was ready to call the strikeout there, but a foul tip there just off the tip of the bat. Good fight here by Hogan McIntosh.
McIntosh just getting a piece of it that time to stay alive.
As he did, and the payoff pitch once again by Becker is grounded to Antonacci. Fields it cleanly, flings it over to Ryan Hernandez for the first out. Easy ground out there for Austin Becker to record the first out.
That's exactly what you want to see to settle Becker into this appearance. Grounder routine play for Antonacci there, comes up with it, slings across the diamond, and now you got the bases empty with Logsdon coming to the plate.
As he does, Logsdon recorded a single back in the second inning. Now faces a new pitcher in on Austin Becker, who throws him the first pitch. Fastball there, too low there. No chance of swing by Lance Logsdon. Takes ball one. Austin Becker, like you mentioned, Drew, played at Texas Tech. Good competition there. Played his freshman year at Vanderbilt, actually. And gets the second pitch in there. No chance. Pumps the gas to Lance Logsdon.
See it here on the replay. Really late swing there from Logsdon. Just couldn't catch up to it, as you mentioned, Manny. And makes Becker look that much better.
1-1 now. The third pitch in there is fouled off towards his dugout. Hits the front guard there off the dugout. A guaranteed foul ball there. 1-2 now.
Again, Logsdon late to the fastball. Just getting a piece of it this time, but was well late. And now looking to hang on for dear life here against Austin Becker.
Could we see a possible third fastball here by the right-hander in Becker? Gets the payoff pitch in there. It's way too far low, as Hunter May again does a good job of blocking that one. Runs the count even to 2-2. Logsdon again playing right field here tonight. Managed to get on base last time with a single. Faces a tough battle here. Still at 2-2 as Becker throws in there the third pitch, and again, Hunter May has to do a lot to get his body behind that. The ball gets past him that time, and it's a full count now at 3-2.
And this is not what you want to see if you're Austin Becker. You had Logsdon at 1-2, and now two straight off-speed pitches in the dirt. Just got to focus on finding the zone once again.
The payoff pitch again, 3-2 to Becker, is too low. Good job there by Lance Logsdon to work a walk in his second plate appearance. Takes first base.
And it is a credit to Lance Logsdon there showing his discipline, but that's a batter lost for Austin Becker, and he knows it right away that he should have had that one as he was in the driver's seat. And now you got to work here from the stretch with Travis Holt at the plate.
Travis Holt again, second plate appearance. Struck out the first time around. Now faces a new pitcher. And Austin Becker again making his second appearance just of this season. And takes the second pitch there to Travis Holt. The second pitcher is fouled off. Owen 1. That's the first time around. Becker flung it to first base, making sure Logsdon wasn't running. 0-1 now. One out so far. Possible double play in play. The third pitch is a breaking ball way too far inside. Had to duck. Travis Holt there. 2-1 now.
Good take there from Holt to even the count. Just got to stay focused here if you're Austin Becker.
As Becker throws it back over to first base to try and catch Logsdon sleeping. Logsdon back in there safely. Again, 1-1 with one out here in the fourth inning. The pitch in there by Becker is a called strike. A good location there by Becker to get the count to 1-2 now. Possible double play is at stake here as Logsdon takes his lead off of first. 1-2 pitch is in there to Travis Holt, who pops it up near the right side. Hernandez makes a move there to try and make a play, but carries onto the grass here. 1-2 again.
Late swing there from Holt just to get a piece of it. Recognized that it was going to catch some of the zone. Didn't want to take the chance of getting rung up on strikes, so just fouls it off and lives to see another pitch.
The catcher, Neiman, is on the on-deck circle. Could have a chance to face Becker if no outs are recorded here, as the third pitch is in there, and it's called a strike three. Travis Cole never moved. Thought it would be called the ball, but gets rung up. Looking on that one, good pitch location there for the second out.
The fastball down and away right at the knees. Hunter May assisting in the punch out there from Austin Becker. Just another pitch that was too close to take, and Holt ends up in the dugout as a result.
Absolutely, and Eddie Neiman now good appearance here. Reached on a fielder's choice. The pitch in there by Becker is fouled off by Neiman. A fastball there. Neiman was too late on that. 0-1 now. Beeman doing the catching duties here tonight after DHing last night. Becker gets the sign from May. The second pitch in there to Neiman is a breaking ball in there. Good location again. 0-2 here with two outs.
You see here on the replay, looping curveball there from Becker. Just dropping it in at the top of the zone. And Becker keeps hitters on their toes with his four-pitch mix.
Looking to for back-to-back strikeouts here is Becker as he pumps in the fastball. Too far outside. Was not going to get Neiman on that one. 1-2 now. Two outs, and basically halfway through this game now, as we are only playing seven innings tonight. The payoff pitch by Becker is thrown in there and just manages to get something on that Eddie Neiman. Foul ball again. 1-2 with two outs still.
That's just a good piece of hitting there from Neiman to get something on that pitch again. Not necessarily liking it, but just living to fight another battle and continue to work here against Becker.
Eddie Neiman looking to avoid the back-to-back strikeouts for the cross cars. The payoff pitch is in there and swung on and missed on the breaking ball. Eddie Neiman had no chance of getting anything on that. Retires the side on back-to-back strikeouts. Austin Becker.
Another looping curveball there from Becker, placing it beautifully down and away. Saw Neiman frustrated as a result. Ends up breaking the bat over his knee and got a reaction from the crowd. Has worked through 3.5 and tied at 1.
As we make our way here to the bottom half of the fourth, pitching change here made by the Crosscutters. It is number 35, J.J. Sanchez, the lefty 5'11 pitcher out of San Jacinto. Another San Jacinto product here playing in this game. He will relieve the pitching duties over by Gowans, who had a solid outing here as well.
Absolutely. Gowans going three innings, two hits, one run. It was, in fact, earned. Struck out five and walked a pair as we see Jesse Litch go from the right-hander to the lefty. So a little bit of a flip here now for Black Bears hitters in these middle innings.
Two pitching changes, or one from either team here, as J.J. Sanchez will start this bottom half of the fourth with a matchup against Blaze Brothers. Blaze Brothers DHing here as the sun starts to set a little bit here over Monongahela County Ballpark. Still have to deal with it over here at left field and center field. Holt and Etzel draw the short straw there as the first pitch in there to Blaze Brothers is an emphatic strike one. J.J. Sanchez pumps the gas in there for the first pitch, first strike. Blaze Brothers got on base last time due to a walk. Now gets his second opportunity here. The second pitch by Sanchez is in there, but way too low and inside. Almost nips Blaze Brothers there at shin level, but 1-1 now.
Let's thought it had caught a piece of Brothers, but Brothers apparently just getting out of the way of it.
Absolutely, and no action in either bullpen after the two pitching changes. Both managers trying to get opportunities out there to their relievers with a shortened game here tonight. The 1-1 pitch to Brothers is in there by Sanchez, and it's a swinging strike there, an emphatic swing by Brothers. No chance of catching up on that one as it ran inside on him, 1-2.
Another late swing there from Brothers, who didn't even start to swing until the ball had already crossed over the plate, and at that point, just too late.
J.J. Sanchez showing the velocity early here in this game. 1-2 now. The payoff pitch to Brothers is just missed there. We've seen Bob Wright's call that or close to that in this game, but does not do so there. 2-2 now.
It's a good take there from Blaze Brothers, recognizing that pitch was outside and didn't need to give one to the lefty Sanchez.
Possible fastball coming here in by Sanchez. The payoff pitch there is swung on and dribbled out to Sanchez. Takes a weird spin there. Fielded by Sanchez, who throws it over the head of McIntosh. Blaze Brothers turns first and is heading to second. And it is fielded finally by Loxton. Oh, he can throw there by Sanchez. Makes Blaze Brothers take second base.
And Blaze Brothers, a little bit of an infield dribbler that just kept rolling towards the baseline as Sanchez was going to have to make a tough play and just airmailed it down the right field line. And Blaze Brothers getting a Christmas present here in June with that extra base as he takes second and puts himself in scoring position for Ryan Hernandez.
Blazing around those bases was Blaze Brothers. Now brings Hernandez up to bat as J.J. Sanchez's first pitch into to him is a first pitch, first strike again. No outs with Blaze Brothers on second. Similar situation we saw back in the first with Ryan Hernandez and Blaze Brothers. As J.J. Sanchez throws in the second pitch there, fouled off the bat of Hernandez. Quick 0-2 there to the left-handed pitcher.
To your point about the situation in the first inning, Hernandez had lined a single to right field. Brothers was sent home by Jimmy Galuski, and it was a tremendous throw from Travis Holt that beat Brothers by a step. As Hernandez looks to get a do-over of that scenario.
Absolutely. 0-2 here. No outs. Ryan Hernandez takes that one. That breaking ball. Not enough break on that one. 1-2. Easy take there by the first baseman. Blaze Brothers, as we mentioned, showing off great speed there. No surprise if you were to receive the sign here to try and take third as Ceballos is off the bag. Hernandez here. Looking to get on base again. 1-2. No outs. Sanchez takes a look over to Brothers there at second. The payoff pitch in there to Hernandez is way too low there. Good job there at the field. It was Eddie Niemann. 2-2 now.
And it's a great job from Ryan Hernandez to work himself back into the count. Was down 0-2 after two pitches, and now we're back even. And yes,
definitely a dangerous hitter. You don't want to let have a crack at it here now, but a much favorable count. 2-2 to the first baseman, Ryan Hernandez. Sanchez takes a look over at second. The payoff pitch is in there again by Sanchez as that ball is slapped over to the right side of the ballpark. Just carried too far foul into the grass there by the right side of the park. A good fight here we have here at 2-2.
And that's one Hernandez is going to want back. If he could have just sat back a little bit, drove it down the right field line, Brothers could have probably walked home from second base.
Still stuck here at 1-1 is the score with each team recording three hits. Good chance here for the Blackbird take here as Ryan Hernandez slaps that one to center field. Fielded there by Etzel. Will try to make the play, but Blaze Brothers this time will not test the arm of an outfielder and will stay at third. Good hit there by Ryan Hernandez.
And see, that's the time where you would have wanted to send Brothers. I mean, I know it was a little bit shallow, but a throw from right center to home is a lot farther away than the throw from left to home. And the Black Bears crowd is letting Jimmy Galuski know down there at third base exactly what they think of his decision to hold Blaze Brothers.
Good point that you make, as we've seen a lot more aggressive base running by the Black Bears. Surprised there as well that Blaze Brothers wasn't sent home, as Hunter May takes the first pitch. First ball there, close call there, but a ball nonetheless. Bob Wright's again behind the plate, saying that was a ball. 1-0 here, no outs. Runners at the corners for the catcher, Hunter May. Takes the second pitch and flies that one too far, carrying to the right here by the fans. 1-1 now, no outs. Runners at the corners, as we mentioned. Blaze Brothers at third, Ryan Hernandez. Again, slapped another ball out to the outfield for a single. He'll be at first. 1-1 here to Hunter May, who takes the third pitch, and it slaps it towards the second base, and it gets to the outfield. Nice single for Hunter May, and the Black Bears take now a 2-1 lead.
Great piece of hitting there from Hunter May as he just slaps it the opposite way past Shipley. That one will score Brothers easily, and Black Bears crowd now maybe a little bit forgiving with Jimmy Galuski. His brother scores regardless, and the Black Bears take the lead.
Of course, and now it will be runners on first and second there, as Shibley wasn't able to make a play there, just carrying too far to his left. Makes his way to right field for Logsdon, who just throws it in. But the Black Bears take a 2-1 lead here, as the first pitch to Caden Trinkle now is a called strike one. No outs here. J.J. Sanchez will try to make something out of this inning, as no movement in there in the pen for the Crosscutters. This is Sanchez's game to get out of, as a breaking ball is just misses the strike zone there, 1-1.
His lefty-lefty matchups are tough, and Caden Trinkle is going to have his work cut out for him with a chance for the Black Bears to keep adding on.
Absolutely, and Trinkle slaps that one between Shibley and McIntosh. A scorcher there to right field for Logsdon. Too fast for Ryan Hernandez to even test the throw to the plate. Bases loaded now, no outs.
Ryan Hernandez, much more of a power hitter than a speed guy on the bases, and allows him to move up one base. But you mentioned, Manny, nobody out here for the Black Bears, with Ben Greer coming up, and now we get a mound visit from pitching coach Jeff De La Concha of the Williamsport Crosscutters as they try to have some damage control here in this bottom of the fourth.
And that mound visit, like you just said, Drew, is being made to just kind of ease the nerves of J.J. Sanchez. But again, there is no movement out there, or none that I can see, in that Crosscutters bullpen. So a lot of faith being put in to the left-hander J.J. Sanchez to get out of this one. He will now face the third baseman, Ben Greer. Bases loaded, as we mentioned. First pitch by Sanchez is too far outside. 1-0 here. Again, the Black Bears took the lead here. 2-1 now. Second pitch by Sanchez is in there for a much-needed strike. 1-1 is the count.
See it here on the replay. Off-speed pitch, able to catch the outside corner there for Sanchez.
Ben Greer again takes the third one. Not swinging at that one, and rightly so, as it looks like he was going to drop in there. Doesn't. 2-1 now.
The same pitch there from Sanchez that he just threw to get back even in the count, this time running it inside, and it had a little bit too much life on it.
2-1 now to Ben Greer as he takes ball three. 3-1, no outs. Like we mentioned, bases loaded, in danger of walking in the third run for the Black Bears.
And Ben Greer is in the driver's seat here. Hitter-friendly count, nowhere to put him. Got to get a strike.
3-1 is in there, just about. Good frame job there by Neiman, as he seemed he was going low. Full count now.
Catch it here on the replay. Framed beautifully at the knees, possibly a bit low, but sometimes you get that with the catcher, able to move the glove in the blink of an eye.
Full count, no outs, and it is fouled off. Ben Greer off the tip of his bat, 3-2 still. Ben Greer batting here in the eighth spot, playing third base today. Struck out his last time, has a good count here, full count. J.J. Sanchez, the payoff pitch is not in there, and he walks home a run. Ryan Hernandez will make his way across the plate. 3-1 now to the Black Bears with still no outs.
That's a great take there from Ben Greer. The full count, recognizing that, again, Sanchez had to throw him a strike, and pitch just nowhere near the zone. Is start to see a little bit of movement maybe in the crosscutter's bullpen. Nothing imminent by any means, just some mere stretching, but Black Bears still looking to strike.
And it'll be the second baseman, Dante Stewart, who recorded a single battered inning, gets the first pitch in there to him. It is a ball. 1-0 here. It is Hunter May there at third base, Caden Trenkel at second, and Ben Greer at first. No outs, like I mentioned. The pitch in there to Stewart is another called ball, it seemed, from my vantage point. It is now, it should be 2-0. No outs still.
Are in fact correct, as Antonio Escano starts to throw from the Williamsport bullpen, but not moving quickly by any means.
The Black Bears bats coming alive here in the fourth inning. Dante Stewart takes the third pitch and slaps it foul emphatically close to his dugout, but on makes his way onto the grass. 2-1 now to the second baseman, who did record a single back in the third. The southpaw finding himself in a bit of trouble here. J.J. Sanchez has not recorded an out and is faced with bases loaded with a 2-1 count. The 2-1 pitch is in there. Slaps back to Sanchez, who doesn't make a play on it and is an RBI or a sack ground out, as we have Hunter May scoring on that one, making it 4-1.
The ball was dribbled to the left side of the infield. Sanchez missed it with a dive, but Harris was right there to sling it to McIntosh. The throw took McIntosh off the bag, but McIntosh used his athleticism there to apply the tag on Dante Stewart. Lineup turns over, and the Black Bears will take another run.
Like you mentioned, Drew, the Black Bears will take another run, and runners still in scoring position as Sam Crow makes his way to the batter's box. First pitch in there by J.J. Sanchez is taken for a ball, for ball one.
With Crail up, of course, the infield drawn in for the crosscutters, but the traditional double play not in order, with both runners having to advance as a result of a force play. That certainly makes things much more complicated for...
Good point there, as Trenkel takes his lead from third, and Ben Greer found his way to second on that ground out previously by Dante Stewart. Sam Crail faces the 1-0 pitch, and it is slapped to the left side of the park. Had home run height, but it will carry to the left part of the field. 1-1 now.
Ball carried out onto the road as a couple of cars drove by. Fortunate that nobody ended up with a cracked windshield.
Don't want that as you are driving by here on this beautiful evening. One out, 1-1 count to the right fielder. Sam Crow gets the pitch, and it is slapped over the head of Ceballos. It'll be Trenkel to score. Ben Greer will score on the pass ball by Holt. Lets it run by, and Sam Crow is trudging the third. He couldn't make his way home. Galuski is waving him home. The throw is in, not in time, as Sam Crow gets an inside the park home run. The Black Bears are taking this fourth inning by storm.
And that'll fire up the Black Bears dugout, something you don't see every day, as Sam Crail was moving around those bases. The ball hit out the left field. Holt apparently tried to field it, just didn't get the glove down far enough. Ball carrying all the way to the wall down in that left field alley. And as a result, everybody got to go around. Crail emptied the bases, scored himself. The Black Bears blowing this one open with a six-run inning. Not done yet. And now Jesse Litch out of the bullpen to relieve J.J. Sanchez of his duties on the mound.
A great fourth inning, to say the least, for the Black Bears as they now take a 7-1 commanding lead on seven hits. An error there, a crushing error there, by Travis Holt there, and left just was seemed to be rushed, too far rushed by that by that ball coming towards him. The ball just scoots on under him, and it goes to the left side of the field there in the corner. Again, like you mentioned, Drew Crail hustling around the base. 7-1 here to the Black Bears.
Sam Crail, great opportunity there to show off his wheels as he went flying around the bases. Sam Crail, Black Bears version of former Pirates shortstop Cole Tucker. Every time Crail runs the bases, seems to be losing his helmet, and did so that time before he even came anywhere close to second base, as Crail makes the day done for J.J. Sanchez, and now Escano comes in mop-up duty.
Absolutely, and you mentioned Escano coming in now, the right-hander 6'2", out of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Did attend State Fair Community College, but now does his playing at Lamar University. Looking to get out of this rough fourth inning. And Drew, it seems it only takes one inning in these first couple games of this series to kind of unravel here for the Crosscutters, as we saw it last night in the second.
Absolutely, and every single time the Black Bears have had one of these innings, they have just really poured it on. And we saw last night they scored 8 runs in the second inning, now 6 runs here in the fourth, and only one out being recorded. So this one could even get further out of hand here for the Williamsport Crosscutters, and this is exactly what you want to see if you've gotten the opportunity to get the offense going. West Virginia just really looking to keep doing what they're doing as the offense has came to life in this series.
And it all started off the bat of Blaze Brothers, who reached on that error by J.J. Sanchez, and it all seemed to just fall apart from there as we went through the bottom half of the lineup all the way to Sam Crail, who managed to cross home plate on the inside the park home run. It is now up to Antonacci to continue this success as he takes the first pitch foul and will face an... The fans are showing a lot more energy after that as the second pitch comes in to Antonacci, and it is a ball, 1-1.
A point to mention here for Escano, another right-hander, so Jesse Litch alternating right-left.
That is right, and a swing and a miss there by Antonacci. Now faces a 1-2 count. Did strike out last time, looking to avoid that same fate here as we see the infield taking a few steps back onto the outfield as the payoff pitch here is not in there. A breaking ball there by Escano, not enough, but runs the count even a 2-2. Escano now looking for the strikeout. The payoff pitch in there is fouled off emphatically to this left side, drops into the Crosscutters dugout. Still 2-2.
Late swing there from Antonacci just to stay alive, but now gets the opportunity to see at least one more pitch from Escano.
Third time around for Antonacci, gets a payoff pitch, and again, for the third time, if I'm not mistaken, another foul ball towards this left-hand side. Good fight by Antonacci still. We will see the entire run through of this lineup as McCoy will earn himself a chance to bat as the payoff pitch is a ball. Runs the count full to 3-2 to Sam Antonacci. Again, we will see the entire lineup go through in this fourth inning as McCoy will get a chance with only one out being recorded so far and no runners on base. Sam Antonacci gets the pitch off and again fouled off to this left-hand side, a lot closer to us. This time still 3-2.
Antonacci just continuing to fight here for the Black Bears, showing no signs of slowing down. And, I mean, why not? Just go out there, continue to produce runs.
As the payoff pitch is in here again, and Antonacci continues to fight off, dragging this at-bat a lot longer than the Crosscutters would have liked. The shortstop making the the product out of Santo Domingo work out there. It all started off the bat of Blaze Brothers, and it's continued on here to Sam Antonacci. Count runs full, 3-2. The pitch there by Escano again. Fouled off to the left side again by the shortstop.
Antonacci just continues the fight here. I mean, why not work up the pitch count? I mean, Escano has thrown 9 pitches coming out of the bullpen here in this at-bat. Just make him work.
And it seems like there's no motion out there in the Black Bears bullpen as the payoff pitch is in there, taken for ball 4. Great at-bat by Antonacci to work a walk and keep this inning alive for Ryan McCoy.
That at-bat looked a little bit Ryan McCoy-esque there, as we've seen McCoy do that plenty of times, working the count, making pitchers throw into double digits in his at-bats, and now stands in as the 9th Black Bear to come to the plate in this inning.
Absolutely, and a ground out last time for McCoy as he takes the first pitch in there too low and inside by Escano, a ball 1. 1 out still. Antonacci sees the lead there, and Escano throws it over to McIntosh to keep Antonacci honest over there. As the Black Bears are known to be aggressive on the base path. Escano takes a look back there. 1-0 to McCoy. Second pitch in there. It's slapped towards left field. Travis Holt will try to make a play on it, but just carries into foul territory. Evens the count at 1-1.
See a couple of the promotions interns running after that one. Looked like a group of little kids on Christmas morning with the way they were chasing after that baseball.
Absolutely here. Everybody would love a foul ball here. And it is now 1-1 with 1 out. Antonacci takes the lead off of first. Escano takes a peek over there. Takes the third pitch to McCoy, and it's way too low again. In the fourth inning still. McCoy, again, like we mentioned, grounded out last time. That would mean a double play if he would have repeated here. But again, takes that pitch in there by Escano. 2-2 now. 1 out. McCoy, again, is a loved player here by all the fans here as the fans chant in here. Riding those good vibes off this inning, and the payoff pitch in there is way too high. Escano in danger of walking another Black Bears batter here.
Things starting to go from bad to worse here for the Crosscutters as just cannot get out. Now McCoy looking to be second consecutive walk.
And McCoy steps away for a second. Calls time, but is now ready for the 3-2 pitch. 1 out, as we mentioned. Sam Antonacci finds himself at first after working himself a walk. And now the 3-2 pitch sends Antonacci as the ball is sliced foul off the bat of Ryan McCoy. Sam Antonacci will make his way back to first.
I like the approach there from McCoy with that swing. Just would have appreciated him sitting back on it a little bit. Would have loved to have seen that one sneak down the line past the diving Hogan McIntosh, but McCoy now getting at least one more pitch.
And the pitch is thrown back there by Escano, and McIntosh seemed to be convinced that he got the tag in there. It was a good throw to his credit, but he was called safe there, Antonacci.
Antonacci froze for a split second as he saw Escano starting to throw over, and then panic set in as he had to make sure he got back on the bag.
The 3-2 pitch in there is slapped to the left side of the ballpark, carrying foul. Again, McCoy making Escano work, making it a lot harder than he would have liked for this second out.
Absolutely. McCoy just continuing to fight. He's thrown 17 pitches with not even 2 full batters faced. It was 10 to Antonacci, and now 8 to McCoy.
Antonacci goes on that strikeout pitch to McCoy. The double play there, not the routine double play you see, but strikeout by McCoy, and Antonacci gets tagged out at second trying to steal.
surgeries ever done, as long as it's done right. Think about it like the alignment on your car. If your alignment is off, your tires wear out faster. Robotic-assisted joint replacement surgery at WVU Medicine ensures that the implants are in the exact spot they should be. If you have a joint problem in West Virginia, there's no reason to go anywhere else but WVU Medicine. For more information, visit wvumedicine.org/joint.
We finally make our way here to the fifth inning, the start of the fifth inning, where Isaac Nunez will bat first against Austin Becker, who has earned himself another inning of work. Austin Becker, the first pitch to Nunez, is a called strike. Good location there by the right-hander, 0-1.
Yeah, I have to imagine that Becker would get the entire fifth inning, of course, unless he runs into sort of any issues, and then Black Bears would use one more reliever to get them through the final two innings.
Second pitch carries too far outside. Never going to swing at that was Isaac Nunez. Runs the count even to 1-1. Again, no action in the Black Bears bullpen. As the only action I see is the tossing of a football over there. And the third pitch in there to Isaac Nunez is a called second ball. 2-1. No outs. Isaac Nunez plays his ball at Southeastern University in Florida. Gets the 2-1 pitch here, and he slaps it foul right behind home plate. Count runs even to 2-2.
Another late swing there that Becker has induced and allows him to get even in the count in the process and one pitch away from recording his third strikeout of this appearance.
That is correct, and the count now 2-2. Becker gets the sign from May. Delivers the payoff one, and it is sliced foul behind us here over the overhang. Still 2-2 to the right-handed batter. Again, as we mentioned, plays at Southeastern. Nunez batted at 385 in 32 games started. Recorded 89 hits. Trying to do the same here. 2-2 here is slapped between the gap of Antonacci and Greer. A convincing single. Right to McCoy, first hit here for Nunez.
Good piece of hitting there for Nunez, just staying alive. Got an off-speed pitch that was a little bit out in front of, but he got the barrel to it and placed it perfectly between Greer and
dangerous Matthew Ethel. Not so much here tonight, is making his way up to the left-handed batter's box. Reached on an E7 in the first inning and grounded out in the third. Gets the first pitch from Becker, and it is a fastball in there for a strike. 0-1 here to Ethel.
There's Ethel scoring the lone run for the Crosscutters to this point.
That is right, and Ethel now gets the 0-1 pitch there, and he pops it up high over to this left side. Ben Greer will just watch it go foul, as Antonacci was actually the closest one over there as he chased it all the way to the wall on the left side here by the grass. 0-2 now, favorable count for Becker against Ethel, who is looking to have some, is looking to ignite this Crosscutters offense here in the fifth. Gets the 0-2 pitch here by Becker, goes way too far outside into the glove of Hunter May. 1-2 now. Etzel, making his first appearance in this series. Didn't play yesterday. And now faced with 1-2 count as Becker throws that one to Hernandez over there at first, trying to catch Nunez sleeping. No real danger there, though. 1-2 again to Etzel. The pitch is in there, and it is just outside. As Hunter may try to frame that one, but it is still 2-2 count.
It was a good pitch location there from Becker to try and get a chase. Just unfortunate that Betzel's vision was on his A game and wasn't fooled.
Absolutely. And again, the 2-2 pitch there by Becker as Nunez takes off, but that one is fouled off towards this left-hand side. Will carry foul towards some fans there in the stands. Everyone trying to get their hands on that one. A lady then does and hands it off to a lucky kid there sitting next to her.
Up somewhere in foul territory, you know, chaos is set to follow for a few seconds.
That is correct, as, again, everybody's trying to get their hands on that foul ball. Trying to avoid another foul ball here is Becker as the 2-2 pitch is in there to Etzel, and he almost goes. Does not break the plane there, and it is now 3-2 count to the center fielder.
And now Becker needs to be a little bit more selective here with getting it close to the zone. You can't find yourself in the situation of first and second with nobody on, nobody out.
That is correct, Drew. And he does just that. The pitch is too far on the outside part of the plate, low as well. Etzel earns himself a walk, and now runners on first and second.
And again, Becker just missing his spot. Well down and away. Hunter May having a quick word with him. We're heading back behind the plate.
Similar to the issues the cross-cutters faced before this, Brothers earned himself to second base on that error, and then it all just went downhill from there. You don't want that to happen here. No outs, runners on first and second. It is Alan Shibley here, takes the first pitch, just misses. Bob Wrights did not like that location. 1-0 here. No out still.
Fastball there from Becker. Just a bit too far off the plate.
Now Shibley, third plate appearance, has singled in his two previous. Looking to do the same here again. Slaps that one just over our heads, way over our heads, over the overhang. 1-1 count now. The only cross-cutters player with two base hits, two singles, one in the first and the other in the third. Now finds himself hitting again in the fifth with a good chance here to cut into that deficit. 7-1 again, like we mentioned. Advantage Black Bears as the pitch is bounced in there off the chest of Hunter May. Good job blocking it. 2-1 now to Alan Shibley.
That's a good block from May. First and second, as long as you can. The only time you don't want them there is if they're making their way back to the dugout.
Can't agree with you more there, Drew. 2-1 now from Becker to Shibley. The pitch is in there, and again, bounced in there. Good feeling there by Hunter May. Right into the glove. 3-1 in danger of loading the bases with a dangerous Daniel Harris on deck. Three and one here to Shibley. Got to have a strike here if you're Becker. Hunter May sets up. The pitch by Becker is in there, and it is slapped to left field, right to Ryan McCoy. Hardly has to move, and it is an ideal first out here for the Black Bears.
Ryan McCoy redeems himself for the early mistake as that ball gets slapped the opposite way. And you mentioned, Manny, Ryan McCoy barely having to move for it, just a few steps to his left, and now that the sun's gone, able to see that one into his mitt.
I was just going to say, does not have to worry about battling the sun anymore as a sheet of shade has covered over here in Monongahela County Ballpark. And one out for Daniel Harris with still runners on first and second. Daniel Harris flew out last time. The first pitch is in there, breaking over the heart of the plate. 0-1 here to start off to Daniel Harris.
And I like the idea there from Becker to go at that first pitch curveball, but that one may have caught a bit too much of the plate for my liking, and Becker honestly a little lucky that Harris didn't crush that one into the left field bullpen.
Absolutely. And the 0-1 pitch here to Harris is way too low. And Hunter May quickly pops up there to make sure no one's trying to get themselves an extra base. Makes the count even 1-1 with one out.
May looking for a back pick attempt there, trying to catch anybody napping a few feet off base, but both base runners for Williamsport paying attention.
New 1-1 pitch here to Harris. It is slugged back and it nails Becker right on the hip. He goes to second for the one out, but does not get Daniel Harris there on first, and everyone's going to check if Alston Becker is okay after that one.
I appreciate the F getting hit with that line drive. Just shook it off like it was nothing and immediately fired down to second to get the out. I mean, Austin Becker just ate that missile off the bat there of Daniel Harris. See it here again on the replay, right off the arm and into the side. And Austin Becker built different, apparently.
I can't agree with you more there, as, again, just seems to not even have a limp or anything. Seems to be fine. Will most likely finish off this inning with only one out left to go. And it is Sabin Ceballos up for his third time in this game. He's not recorded a hit yet so far. He did get on base through a fielder's choice in the first. Flew out in the third. Is now looking to drive in a run as the first pitch he takes in there for a ball. And it's now 1-0. Sabin Ceballos out of San Jacinto College. The runner from first takes off, and it is Daniel Harris who does take off, and no throw there by May. Crosscut is being a lot more aggressive here now, trying to cut into that deficit.
Defensive indifference there for May. Certainly the right decision. Don't want to take any chances on a delayed steal from third with Nunez, or even worse, the ball sailing into center field.
And the second pitch is, or excuse me, the third pitch is in there for the second ball. 2-1 now with two outs, runners on second and third. It is Isaac Nunez who finds himself at third, and the pitch is in there again. Gets past May there at home plate, and it was actually going to score Nunez. A errant pitch there, a pass ball there by May, will score the second run for the Crosscutters.
Catch it here on the replay. That one hit the glove, hit the leg of May somewhere in the center portion of his body. That one definitely should go down.
And it is Daniel Harris who will make his way to third now. And Sabin Ceballos has a chance here to drive in another run with a 3-1 count. Two outs. The pitch is in there. And it is a called ball four. It had to bounce in there. Good feeling by May to make sure it doesn't pass by him again. But it is another walk for the Crosscutters.
And now Williamsport with a little bit of life here in the top of the fifth. We see some activity in the West Virginia bullpen as Brett Hansen gets loose from the mound. Have to imagine that just trying to get Becker through this final out, but would turn to Hansen if necessary.
Absolutely, and the first pitch in there by Becker is sliced foul off the bat of Hogan McIntosh. It is now up to bat. The first baseman just had his at-bat just in the previous inning, grounded out during that, but now he has runners at the corners looking to get his first hit and drive in a run. The second pitch to McIntosh is a breaking ball, has to get his hands out of the way, and is now even at 1-1. McIntosh, one of the heavy hitters of this lineup, has not recorded a hit yet so far, but again has a good opportunity here with runners at the corners. In here, and again takes another pitch there, 2-1 now.
Can see a little bit of a puzzled look there on Becker's face as he thought he did enough there to get that one to catch the outer half of the plate at knee height, but see here that just below the zone.
The pitch in here again by McIntosh is grounded to Antonacci, goes in himself to second base, records the third out, and A run is scored, but not too much is done. The Black Bears now lead 7-2. And it will be Antonio Escano still here pitching in the bottom of the fifth inning. We'll face Blaze Brothers, who just had a turn, who really kicked off that onslaught of runs in just the previous inning for the Black Bears. It was his on base through an error that really ignited that offense. And the first pitch he faces is a ball that squeezes through the glove of Neiman onto the backstop. A ball nonetheless. Blaze Brothers, as I mentioned, reached on an error last time off as he takes the second ball in this at-bat, 2-0. Has not actually gone on base yet through a contact hit. He will take this 2-0 pitch and make it 3-0. Three straight balls to start off the fifth for the Black Bears.
And if Blaze Brothers can find his way on, it would be the second time he has walked in this contest, of course, singled last inning.
That is right, and taken all the way there is Blaze Brothers as that pitch by Escano makes his way into the strike zone, 3-1. Again, Blaze Brothers seems to have found his footing here at home as following up yesterday's performance by an equally good performance, and he rockets that one near this left side of the field, makes his way through the fence there onto the upper part of the grass. 3-2 now to the DH tonight.
Blaze Brothers absolutely blistered that ball. I would love to get the exit velo off the bat there on that foul ball.
Looking to record the first out is Escano. 3-2 in there. The Brothers is inside off the glove of Neiman, but a walk nonetheless. The second time he gets on base via the walk.
Pitch tried to go up and in, did Escano, but the ball bounced in and out of the glove of Neiman, and if that pitch was even remotely close to the zone, Bob Wrights didn't really have much of a chance to call it a strike because it was in and out of the glove in the blink of an eye.
That is correct, Drew, and now we see the as dangerous hitter, Ryan Hernandez, making his way onto the base path, and he slaps that one to left field. Travis Holt is backpedaling on the track at the wall, and it is gone. An absolute shot into the cross. Cutter's bullpen. No chance for Travis Holt to make a play. One pitch, one home run for Ryan Hernandez, who extends the lead now to 9-2.
And that, my friends, is the power of Ryan Hernandez as he blistered that one into the... You could just tell off the bat that one was leaving the ballpark, and as much of an effort as Holt made to try and bring that one in, there was no way that ball was staying inside fair territory, and it extends the Black Bears' lead.
Again, two-run shot there by Hernandez. Makes the lead now 9-2. No outs for Hunter May here. Hunter May took that first strike, first pitch as a strike, and now swings through the second pitch and now finds himself in an 0-2 count. Hard to follow up that by Ryan Hernandez, but Hunter May will try here. As the 0-2 count, or pitch comes in here, and it is bounced in there to Eddie Niemann, 1-2. Hunter May singled in his last time up in the last inning. 1-2 now to him. Takes his second ball. 2-2 now with no outs to the catcher. And there is some action there in the Crosscutters bullpen. This could be the last inning for Escano as the pitch is in there. And he does get Hunter May in an odd swing to try to get out of the way, but still a strikeout.
You see it here on the replay. Oh, very close for May there with the back crossing the plane. Could have gone either way, and Bob Wright siding with Escano.
Much needed first out there. A good bounce back at bat for Escano after giving up the home run. It is now Caden Tranquil who takes that low inside pitch for 1-0. Tranquil, again, one of those other hitters that managed to get on base last time via a single. Swings at that one, no chance of that, even to count at 1-1. Caden Tranquil again playing center field tonight. Slaps that one over to Shib. Does records the second out on a routine ground out to McIntosh.
And that was a routine grounder, but Shibley didn't really have a whole lot of time as Tranquil was flying down the first base line. And the throw only beat Tranquil by a step, so a little bit of a closer play there than Shibley probably would have liked.
Two relatively quick outs there by Escano after giving up that home run. It will be Ben Greer now getting his third chance up now as the first pitch by Escano is outside, just outside, doesn't nip the outside part of the plate, 1-0.
Riley Ornito warming up in the Williamsport bullpen.
The second pitch is in there for a called strike, 1-1. Escano trying to get through this inning with as little runs as possible, already gave up two. The third pitch in here is just low, tried to frame it, did Eddie Niemann, could not fool Bob Wright, 2-1 now. The fourth pitch there is grounded again to Shibley. Should be able to make the play to McIntosh and does. Three outs are recorded after that home run bob off the bat of Ryan Hernandez. The Black Bears now take it into the break, leading 9-2.
Don't let seizures control your life. Fight back with the WVU Epilepsy Center. In our state-of-the-art facilities, we help adults and children manage epilepsy and seizures and offer the very latest surgical treatments. And the WVU Epilepsy Center is a level 4 treatment center, helping people around the region and across the country take back control of their lives. Call 855-WVU-CARE or visit wvumedicine.org/RNI/Epilepsy Center.
To start off the sixth inning of this shortening game, we're only playing seven innings tonight. It will be Brett Hansen as he comes in to relieve Austin Becker. Brett Hansen, the 6'4 lefty sophomore out of Vanderbilt, is making his first appearance here for the Black Bears. with a 9-2 lead. A relatively calm debut here, but nonetheless a good chance to get some action here for the lefty.
Absolutely. Brett Hansen would imagine be set to finish off this game with over the final two innings. Austin Becker going the fourth and the fifth, conceding a run on just one hit that ended up being unearned as a result of the passed ball there by Hunter May. Becker walked three, struck out two, so a little bit of a hiccup for Austin Becker in terms of the three walks over those two innings, but able to get out of it without touching his ERA, and now Brett Hansen takes the mound for West Virginia.
And the Pleasanton, California native, again, will take the mound for West Virginia. It was actually California's top rank southpaw and 13th best overall prospect coming out of high school. Took his talents to Vanderbilt, as I said. Had a lot of success there, but now looking to carry that success here onto the mound here at Monongahela County Ballpark. Will be facing Lance Logsdon out for the first time against Brett Hansen as the pitch is just outside for ball one. Logsdon managed to walk last time as the second pitch in there is a strike now, 1-1.
I credit Brett Hansen there. Missed outside with the fastball on the first pitch. Went right back to it on the inner half of the zone and got the call from Bob Wrights.
The third pitch in there is a breaking pitch. Doesn't break enough. Too far inside, 2-1. Again, Lance Logsdon singled back in the second. Walked last time. As the fourth pitch in there by Hansen is too low. 3-1 now. Good job by Logsdon to hold off on that one. The pitch in there again by Hansen is just missed. Too low. And first batter he faces will be a walk. Not the ideal start you want for the lefty making his debut here for the Black Bears. But he gives first base to Logsdon.
Absolutely not. Brett Hansen, just aside from the second pitch there, really all over the place as couldn't really get much in terms of pitches being close to the zone and now has to work from the stretch.
It is Travis Holt now facing the first pitch here, and he slaps it into the gap, it seems, and it will drop, and it will make its way over the wall here, a ground rule double. First pitch swing by Travis Holt. Good thing he did. He earns himself a ground rule double. Roots the cross guards in a good position here.
Absolutely. And Travis Holt really got a hold of that one. Got helped with the turf there as it took a nice hop and carried over the wall. And now it's two runners in scoring position.
Right off the get-go here. No outs recorded. And Brett Hansen will face Eddie Neiman now, who will try to, again, cut into that deficit as we already are in the sixth inning. Brett Hansen finds himself in a tricky situation as the first pitch to Neiman is grounded over to Stewart. No play at home. Will take the easy out at first. Neiman grounds out, but the run will score from third.
Great defense there from Dante Stewart, recognizing he didn't have a chance at the plate. Just take the short out over there at first, and Neiman treating that baseball bat a little bit more kindly than he did the previous one, as it wasn't broken over his knee in the process.
Absolutely. Travis Holt will make his way to third. Only one out here for Isaac Nunez. Isaac Nunez takes the first pitch. Feints like he's going to swing at that, but he doesn't. 1-0 with one out. Cross cutters cut the lead. Or cut the deficit to 6 now, trailing 9-3. Second pitch by Hansen is in there for a called strike. Good comeback pitch there. 1-1 with one out.
Hansen really likes to target that outside portion of the plate, especially with the fastball.
And the third pitch there is flown out to the shallow part of right field. Ryan Hernandez calls off Stewart, makes the easy pop out. for the second out. An ideal second out keeps Travis Holt at bay over there at third.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what you want to do. Keep Holt over there at third. Able to record the out is McCoy, and now puts himself in a two-out situation. And as for Holt over there at third base, would need a hit in order to come home.
That is correct, and one of the more dangerous hitters that this cross-cutter lineup has to offer, it is Matthew Etzel coming to bat for this fourth time. The pitch in there, breaking pitch by Hansen, too high, 1-0 to start off. Now if you're Hansen, you've given up a few hits, but not the worst thing as he pumps in the second pitch and it is a called strike, 1-1.
Start the way that Hansen would have liked it to. It's about how he responds here, and that's what the scouts are going to take note of.
The second or the third pitch in there is too far inside towards Etzel. We'll take it 2-1 on the count. Hansen actually took 2 years off of baseball to serve a Mormon mission before going to Vanderbilt. As the third pitch is grounded to Ryan Hernandez, calls off Hansen. But a mistake at that, as he thought he could get the shutter out, but he doesn't. A mistake there will score Travis Holt from third.
You see it here on the replay. Hernandez, you mentioned, thought he had it himself, but just couldn't get to the bag in time. And a hand from Etzel with the head first dive gets him by a second as Hansen concedes another run and inning continues.
Curious decision there by Hernandez, as most people thought he would make the out, but Etzel was trudging along first and makes his way on the infield single. Scores a run there for the cross-cutters as that breaking ball is not far enough across the plate and is over for ball one. The second pitch by Hansen is in there for an emphatic strike number one. 1-1 now, as that last infield hit was the cross-cutter's his sixth hit of the ballgame. The third pitch here by Hansen is too low. Bob Wright calls it a ball, and it should be 2-1 now with two outs. It is Shibley at bat now, looking to do something with this opportunity here as Hansen has that ball rocked to center field. Kaden Trenkel gets under it, hardly has to move, records the third out, but not before the cross cutters come within five now, 9-4, as we head to the bottom of the sixth. Possibly the last time the Black Bears get a chance to swing the bat here, as it'll be Dante Stewart leading off this bottom half of the sixth. And we remind you that tonight's game will conclude after this inning, most likely. It's we're only going seven today with the new rule placed in by the league to preserve the arms of the pitchers. The Black Bears still lead here 9-4 after the cross cutters were able to increase their lead or increase, their runs to four with six hits to the Black Bears eight. Seems like we have a pitching change here for the cross cutter. My partner Drew was right. It will be number 18, Riley Ornito, the 6'3 right-hander out of Mountain View, California. Does go to school at the University of San Francisco. Will relieve Antonio Escano and will most likely conclude here after one inning of work, but experience is still a good experience here, even if you're down 9-4.
Absolutely, and these sort of scenarios, you can still raise your stock here in the MLB Draft League, despite the team trailing by five. Go out there, have a dominant one inning performance, and the scouts in attendance will take note of that.
Absolutely, and again, it'll be Dante Stewart who will be the first batter up against him. The first pitch by Ornito is a called ball one.
The Black Bears have some activity of their own out in the bullpen. Will Schomburg possibly taking the ball for Jed Jerko in the seventh inning.
The second pitch in here by Ornito. Another pitch on the outside part this time, 2-0. Stewart was able to single back in the third, grounded out last time he was at bat here in the fourth. Third time up. Swings and misses at that one. The first strike is a swinging one at that. 2-1 here.
Dante Stewart there just trying to replicate some of the Ryan Hernandez power, but came up empty.
Dante Stewart has Sam Crail in the on-deck circle, but looking to do some damage here himself. 2-1 is another breaking ball, but a ball at that. 3-1, good start here for Dante Stewart. Ornito trying to get trying to retire his first batter, almost does so. Dante Stewart was seemed to be getting ready to walk over to first, but first base umpire Mario Seneca thought otherwise.
He could tell Dante Stewart went around, and that may have just been the easiest call Mario Seneca has to make.
Count four now. The payoff pitch to Stewart is bounced in there. Easy ball four for Stewart, and a leadoff walk for Stewart.
You know, typically when pitchers throw breaking balls, you often hear the phrase 58-foot breaking ball. That from Ornito right there was probably about a 50-foot fastball that he just spiked in the dirt.
And again, an easy ball to take there for Stewart. Will bring up Sam Crail, the most famous guy at the ballpark here today, without a doubt, after the inside-the-park home run back in the fourth. Takes that one for ball one off the hand of Ornito.
Just like to point out that Sam Crail's inside-the-park home run, first one for the Black Bears in the MLB Draft League.
A great honor there to have for Sam Crail, as the second pitch he faces is, again, inside on him. Easy take there, 2-0, no outs. Stewart at first base.
Stewart has some wheels on him over at first base. Wouldn't be surprised if he attempts to swipe the bag.
And he does just that on cue there for Drew. A strike, but no throw there over by Eddie Niemann. Curious decision there. Stewart easily takes second.
Maybe Niemann didn't want to spike it off of his pitcher's back again, but unfortunately, don't have the lottery numbers after calling the steal there from Dante Stewart.
Riley Ornito will be throwing a 2-1 pitch here and almost causes Niemann to lose it there, but that pitch forces a 3-1 count now. No outs, runner now in scoring position, that being Dante Stewart after he worked the walk and stole second. Clearly, if you're the cross cutters, you are aware of the damage Sam Crail has. But that pitch is slapped into left field. It is Travis Holt ranging over there, and he can't make the play, and it bounces into the dugout. It is a ground rule double for the Black Bears here.
And Sam Crail just continuing to hit, this time blasting that ground rule double out into left field. You could just tell Travis Holt misread the ball from the get-go, made a nice attempt to recover, and almost brought it in over the shoulder, but just out of his outstretched reach. And for the second time in as many nights, the Black Bear is into double digits in the run category.
That is correct. And because of that ground rule double, it'll force Dante Stewart to score an RBI ground rule double at that for Sam Crail. Just another RBI he adds in this series. As it is now Sam Antonacci who grounds one over to Shibley, who does make the play over there to first, but it does advance Sam Crail over to third.
Absolutely. And you'll take that if you're Sam Antonacci. Might not have been the result you want, but it allows you to advance Sam Crail over to third and a chance for Ryan McCoy to tack on a ribby.
Has struggled so far in this game. Ryan McCoy, one of the few hitters that has not reaped the benefits of the pitching here by the cross cutters. Struck out, grounded out, and struck out in the fourth. Gets his fourth chance to finally get one there in the hit column. And an RBI at that if he does. First pitch in there to McCoy is a taken ball one with one out. Unusual game for McCoy. As again mentioned, the hitless game so far as he takes a strike there, 1-1, and also playing left field here today. Crail looking to add yet another run. Therefore, the Black Bears, as he inches closer to home plate from third. McCoy takes another ball, 2-1 now. That RBI off the bat of Crail does make it 10-4 now, as Drew mentioned. And the strike call there, making it 2-2 now with one out.
A little perplexed as to how that one caught the bottom of the zone, but nonetheless, Bob Wright's ruling that it did.
And the payoff pitch is slapped right back up the middle. Ryan McCoy records his first hit, and an RBI singled will score Crail. 11-4 Black Bears now.
And you can never rule out Ryan McCoy. He always finds a way to get a hit. This time the comebacker over the outstretched glove of Ornito. And that allows the Black Bears to tack on another run, and they just continue to pour it on.
Absolutely, they do, and it's now Blaze Brothers who continues his momentum from the last game into this one. Will get his fourth chance here by my count to bat. Has earned himself two walks and a stolen base, a couple stolen bases actually, throughout this game. As he gets the first pitch from Renito, swinging through that one. No contact on that, no doubt about it. It is 0-1 here to start off the at-bat. Not all bad for Renito, as he does have a chance to end this quickly if he does get Blaze Brothers to play into a double play here. The 0-1 pitch by Renito to Brothers is slapped just foul before it goes over the third base bag. 0-2 count here.
Brothers that time well out in front of it. Just got a little bit giddy with how the Black Bears offense has come to life here in these later innings and wanted to join the party.
As the lights are starting to shine here at the Mon, the sun is setting over here as we come closer to the end of this game. 11-4 Black Bears as we see a throw over to first base by Ornito. Nearly drags McIntosh off the bag there, but first baseman is able to corral that throw over.
Young Black Bears fans here letting Ornito what they think of his decision to throw over.
The payoff pitch by Ornito is check swing there, but it doesn't hold Ryan McCoy from taking second base as that ball passed through the glove of Niemann.
And that ball well away from Niemann. Don't even think he got anything to it. That's how wild the pitch was there from Ornito. And now another runner in scoring position here for Blaze Brothers.
Chance to add yet another run to that scoreboard. 11-4 there, I reiterate. A 1-2 count to Brothers is swung on and missed there. Good pitch there by Ornedo to record his second out, a much needed strikeout, and one out away from getting to the seventh.
And that was just a great piece of pitching there from Riley Ornedo as he blew the fastball by Brothers. Couldn't get anything on it, and here comes Ryan Hernandez.
A similar situation again for Ryan Hernandez, this time with Ryan McCoy over there at second base instead of Blaze Brothers. He homered the last time up. He could be looking to do the same here again as a makeshift shift here is on for the first baseman.
Ornedo steps off the rubber. Ryan Hernandez apparently living in his head rent-free.
As he is feeling good up there is Hernandez as he watches that one be called a strike. 0-1 here with two outs. Hernandez, like we mentioned, has three hits in this one. After that home run he just hit in the fifth inning. Gets the second pitch in there. It's a ball and it gets by Niemann again. It seemed like he had corralled that one. It was close, but it gets by him almost to the backstop. And Ryan McCoy will make his way over to third.
Ryan McCoy just heads up baseman. Got away from Niemann again. Pitch that got allowed McCoy to take second. Ruled a pass ball. And would have to imagine that this one is as well.
A reaction over by the left side here of the stands by the fans. Not sure what caused that reaction, but the 1-1 pitch there to Hernandez is not swung up, but a strike nonetheless. A 1-2 count here with two outs. Runner in scoring position over at third. This would be a huge out for Ornedo after what Ryan Hernandez did in the last inning, and you don't want to make this more of a desperate than it is, and he gets Ryan Hernandez to swing through that one. No contact made, a strikeout there for Ornedo. We will head to the seventh for the Cross Cutters' last chance to make a comeback at this. Attempt by the Cross Cutters to make a comeback at this. We do have a pitching change. It'll be Will Schomburg, the right-hander out of Davidson College, a junior. Actually played in his last game on June 18th at Frederick. Again, another single inning of work there. Allowed no hits, no runs, and one walk. And has actually not allowed a hit in his three appearances so far this season. Looking to keep that streak going here and close this one out for the Black Bears.
Absolutely. Will Schomburg, solid right-handed pitching option out of this Black Bears bullpen, getting the opportunity here to pitch the seventh inning in what is a low leverage scenario for him, but work still matters for these pitchers despite the score, and Schomburg looks to record the final three outs.
As he does, and it'll be against the shortstop, Daniel Harris, who reached on a fielder's choice last time and has singled in the first. So, has been on the base a couple of times, and we're looking to do the same here again against the right-hander in Schomburg. First pitch from Schomburg gets Harris to swing emphatically on that good first pitch there, 0-1.
A great location there from Schomburg with the fastball high and away. Throw it in that spot, dare Harris to hit it, and came up empty.
The 6'10" Schomburg takes the second pitch there, and as Rice looks over to first base from to get a call from Seneca, he signals a safe, and it'll be 1-1 now to Daniel Harris. Mario Seneca didn't think he swung through that one. 1-1 pitch here is a called strike on the off-speed pitch, took something off of that, and it is now 1-2. Schomburg looking to retire the shortstop off the crosscutters. 1-2 is flown out right field, and it is Sam Crail who makes the play on that, calling off Trinkle. A good start to this as a flyout is the first out.
Great job there from Schomburg getting Harris to get well underneath of that one, and Sam Crail losing the hat once again, but makes the catch, so one gone here in the top of the seventh, and Crail can just calmly head back to his spot out there in right field and grab his hat on the way back.
Has made that a routine now in most games so far, as Schomburg throws the first pitch to Sabin Ceballos, now the third baseman coming to bat here for the fourth time, walked in his last plate appearance. Looking to record the first hit off of Schomburg this season. And he does exactly that. Just right on cue. Slaps one over to Caden Trankel. Right over the flying WV. Gets on base for the crosscutters.
Solid wood to the ball there from Sabin Ceballos. And just gets it to carry out there into center field. I mean, you can't ask for anything more if you're cross cutters for Ceballos there to get on and bring up McIntosh.
Another case there of the announcer's curse, as right on cue, he says it right after I anticipated he would. Will Schomburg will not be happy with me after that, after giving up his first hit of the season, but comes right back with a strike to Hogan McIntosh.
Well, I know one person who won't be near the Black Bears clubhouse tonight.
As long as you don't say anything, Drew, I will not be the one making that play. And Sam Antonacci makes a play there, going to his left side, and he throws a strike over to Ryan Hernandez to get the trudging Hogan McIntosh. Great play there by Sam Antonacci.
Sam Antonacci, my goodness, it's the second time in as many games we have seen him make a diving play deep in the hole at short, get that long throw across the diamond, and retire the batter. Last night he made the diving play to his left. Now he's making it to his right. And Sam Antonacci, a defensive wizard for the Black Bears at shortstop.
An amazing play there. And now Lance Logsdon, who gets the last chance out. And the first pitch is a called strike. Again, like you mentioned, Drew, an outstanding play there by Sam Antonacci. Going to his left and still making the throw across the diamond to Ryan Hernandez. Second pitch there by Schomburg is too far outside, 1-1, two outs. Ceballos was able to go to second there, but still two outs, 1-1 here by Schomburg. It is foul tipped towards the back netting, and now the crosscutters are faced with the last strike here in their comeback effort.
A great pitch there from Schomburg just to get the swing in. Whether it's a swing and a miss or a swing and a foul ball, a strike's a strike here for Schomburg, and one pitch away from officially taking the series.
No doubt, and Lance Logsdon trying to avoid that. The pitch is slapped right back up the middle. Sam Antonacci makes the diving play to his right, but not in time to get logs in there, makes a play back home, and he does get him at home. An outstanding play back to back by Sam Antonacci to get Ceballos getting eager there, trying to cross the plate and ends the game for the Black Bears.
Sam Antonacci, my goodness, again, a tremendous diving play out in center to keep the ball in close, and then to the awareness to throw home, and a brilliant tag there from Hunter May, guns down Ceballos at the plate. I mean, Sam Antonacci, this half inning, just unbelievable defense from him. I'm completely shook right now at Sam Antonacci. The Black Bears take the series nonetheless.
Absolutely, I share the same sentiment there. The Black Bears, and especially Sam Antonacci, showing that this Black Bears team is more than just offense. They show off their defensive prowess there, and it ends the game. That'll be it for us after seven innings of work. It's 11-4. The Black Bears take it with 10 hits being recorded to their name, and the Crosscutters only managing seven. And as we recap today's game in a quick post-game show here we have for you, again, we are left speechless there with the play by Sam Antonacci, but again, it's the Black Bears off, and Ryan Hernandez's home run was a big part of that. But again, it was that big fourth inning by the Black Bears that really made this game go out of hand. The lineup went through the whole nine batters in that inning, and it made the lead 7-1 after that, and it was only just a great relieving effort by the pitchers in Austin Becker, Brett Hansen, and Will Schomburg to kind of close this out for the Black Bears. And as I go to my partner, Drew, here for his last thoughts on this one, just what are your reactions after seeing this game and that last play there?
Well, I'll start with the game itself as a whole. I mean, overall, Black Bears offense getting into double digits. You can never complain when your offense puts up double digits in the run category. Second time in as many games we've seen that from the Black Bears. Of course, you have those breakout innings, but even aside from that, the Black Bears still finding ways to consistently produce, and the pitching got the job done. Brett Hansen ran into a little bit of trouble in the sixth inning, but was able to work himself through it after conceding just those two runs. Shout out again to Turner Spoljarek, today's starting pitcher. Went just three innings, conceded just one run. It wasn't earned. Struck out three, didn't walk a batter, and just the one hit against, as Spoljarek has his best start here in the MLB Draft League, building off of what he did in his relief appearance against the Frederick Keys. And that's exactly what you want if you're the Black Bears. You have a young righty in Spoljarek. Get the opportunity for him to build some confidence with that one appearance out of the bullpen. And Jed Jerko goes right back to him in the rotation. And that'll be a stepping stone there for Turner Spoljarek. But Sam Antonacci, absolutely defensive prowess for the Black Bears at shortstop. And to not only make those plays in the same game, I mean, that's a highlight in itself. But to make them in the same inning, just one batter apart, is absolutely sensational. And Sam Antonacci is going into that clubhouse tonight knowing that he left it all out there on the field. Black Bears, like we talked about in the pregame, the Black Bears went out there, they took care of business, officially clinched the series, and make it five straight wins for them as they look to climb out of the hole they dug themselves in early in the season and get closer and closer to that 500 mark.
Absolutely, and just last touches here on that play by Sam Antonacci. Just the wherewithal to know you didn't get to play at first, but just to have that thought to go home and make that game ending out is just outstanding. An outstanding performance, overall performance here by the Black Bears as they take the series, like Drew said. And we'll be looking for a back-to-back sweep as we are back here again tomorrow. Me and Drew will be on the call again for the game three of this first homestand by the Black Bears. It'll be Pride themed tomorrow for all the fans that will be coming here in attendance. But that'll be all for now, as again, the Black Bears take this one 11-4. Another offensive display by the Black Bears. And as always, it has been myself, Manny Maradegui, on the call with my partner, Drew. As always, we'll be back here again tomorrow. Wishing you a good night here from the Mon.